but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Well, yesterday's news was all about Chauncey Billups and the Trailblazers and, a federal investigation and arrests and poker games. And it was one of those big news days. And we're going to pivot here and talk a little college football. But, John Wilner, you've been in the middle of those news days. You know what that's like in this business, man. It was crazy. It was just a crazy day.
That happens. And you don't know when it's coming. Either what day or what time of day. And it's like you got to drop everything, right? I remember the day the Pac-12 blew up with USC and UCLA. Or the day, when the new Pac-12 added the Mountain West schools, right? You don't always know when it's coming. And that's just part of the job, right?
How do you explain that to people? Because yesterday what I had was I said to somebody, they said, "What's your day like?" It was like 2 p.m. And I was like, "I haven't had a glass of water and I haven't had anything to eat since 6 a.m. And so, and I'm like, I better do that. Otherwise, I'm going to faceplant. But it's part of the job. And it's those days where you really have to be on and you really have to lean into your sourcing and what you do.
Yeah, it's nuts. Like I am 90% of the time, I can kind of set my own schedule. But that 5 or 10%, I have no choice, right? You're completely at the mercy of news. And you guys certainly had gigantic news yesterday, right? I mean, and it was early, and it was, not just a trade. It's like, when the feds are involved, it's like next level.
Yeah, that is that next level, and certainly we're going to see what happens here, what the next development is. I want to talk college football with you. Oregon is hosting Wisconsin this weekend. Illinois is going to Washington. I want to start with those two games because you've got, at least in the preseason, those games look like they were going to be big. One of them might be. Which of those two games is going to be more interesting to you? Probably the Washington game.
I think so. I mean, I think Illinois got a chance to win that game. I don't expect it, but I do think that they got a shot. No, Wisconsin has no chance to beat Oregon. The biggest piece of drama in Eugene is going to be whether Wisconsin scores, because they have been shut out their last two games. They've been outscored 71-0 by Iowa and Ohio State. I mean, it could be like a Oklahoma State, Oregon type situation where third quarter it's 50-point game and the Ducks have got their fifth stringers in. The Husky game, though, could be real interesting.
I am looking at that Husky game and thinking to myself, Washington and Jed Fish, you and I talked about it earlier this week on the podcast, but Washington and Jed Fish, he's going to have maybe his pick of jobs. Do you think Husky fans should be nervous, or do you think they sort of are at peace knowing that Jed Fish is not a forever guy there, or if the Florida job or UCLA job comes calling for him, how will that be greeted by the Husky fan?
I think that they know he's not a forever guy. I think they would like, more than two seasons out of him. To me, the reaction will be a little bit different in Seattle, depending on where he goes, right? I think that it would strike more of a nerve if he goes to UCLA, because Washington views themselves, rightfully so, as a better job than UCLA. If he goes to Florida, that's a little tough. Florida's won national titles in the last few decades, and it's his alma mater. And I kind of feel like fans give a guy a slight break when it's their alma mater. But certainly, if you're Jed Fish and his agent, this fall could not have worked out better for you, because the two jobs that everybody knows you're interested in are both open, and you're doing a good job in Seattle. So at the very least, he's going to be in position to negotiate a new contract from the Huskies.
Are you thinking that you know, if Jed moved on, is it the right time for Washington, or do you need more time there to kind of get things stabilized, or does that matter in this era? Because we used to talk about continuity being so valuable, but maybe given the portal and how quickly things pivot, you know, Washington's always got to, I guess their AD at Washington's always got to be looking and saying, okay, who would I hire if scenario A or B comes down the pipeline?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, my guess is Pat Shun's got a list of 5 or 7 candidates that he'd like to look at in, you know, in a desk drawer. And if Jed leaves, he'll get to it. I mean, Shun's hired football coaches before. He knows the drill, and Washington, in theory, should be able to reload pretty quickly. I mean, you know, after DeBoer left and they lost the national championship game, they lost 21 out of 22 starters. 2 seasons later, you know, they got a shot here to win certainly 8, maybe even 9 games. They can reload quickly. There's no doubt about that. And if they hire the right coach and they've got the right support system for you know, revenue sharing and outside NIL, they'll be fine.
I'm looking at the UCLA-Indiana game on Saturday morning, and UCLA's going to Indiana. They're getting like 25.5 points. Tim Skipper's done a great job with the Bruins. Does he have a chance to keep this job, or is this the kind of game that he needs to win to make people even say that?
I don't know that he's got to win this one. They play Indiana on the road and Ohio State on the road. If the bar for him is to get that job is winning out, he's got no shot. But I think that the bar for him to be considered for that job is a little bit lower. I think they would need to win all the games that are not in Bloomington and Columbus, and that includes beating USC. And if he gets them to what that would be 7-8 wins, maybe he'd have a shot. I think UCLA needs to hire somebody with a proven track record as a head coach, to be honest. I think it's too risky for them at this point to go with a guy who has never been a permanent head coach, right? But at the same time, they'll probably interview him if they can, especially if they beat the Trojans.
I am looking at a game in the Mountain West Conference. San Diego State's going to Fresno State. You have to give Sean Lewis some credit. J.D. Wicker is AD there. Looks smart for hiring him. That feels like a big game in the Mountain West.
It's surprising. San Diego State has one loss, right? I mean, I think a lot of fans remember them as the team that got beat badly in Pullman in week 2. But since then, they haven't lost. And they've been very impressive in some of their wins. They shut out Cal, dominated Nevada. They've got a very good defense, and their offense is coming around. I kind of like them to beat Fresno. They've only got one loss. So in theory, San Diego State is still an option for the college football playoff spot for the group of 5. That's a second loss is going to make things very difficult. But if they can finish 12-1 Mountain West champs, they're going to be in the pool of teams that gets a shot, you know, consideration for the playoff.
John Wilner with us, San Jose Mercury News, Bay Area News Group. You can find him at wilnerhotline.com. Toledo's going to Washington State. It's been a nice season for Jimmy Rogers. Two really good losses on the road at Mississippi and then Virginia. But Washington State is a home dog against Toledo. They're getting a point and a half. I'm very tempted to pick them as the outright winner.
I think so, too. I mean, to me, that was a surprising line, given how Washington State played in Charlottesville and in Oxford. And the other thing is, Toledo has not won a game on the road this year. They're 0-3 away from home. They're a pretty good, Mid-American Conference team. But I like the Cougars. You have to judge the Cougars on how they've done with Eckhouse at quarterback, not on what they did before then when they lost by like 50 at North Texas, right? That's the thing. It's like two different seasons for them, in a little bit like it's two different seasons for UCLA with the change of coaches. Washington State changes quarterbacks and everything is different. So to me, if you're basing it on how they have played with Eckhouse, it's hard to justify them being the underdog at home.
Have we figured out why he didn't just start him at the beginning of the year? Why was he jacking around with, I'm going to play this guy and that guy? It made no sense.
Yeah, Jimmy was Jimmy jacking around. I don't know. I still don't have a great answer. They evaluated those guys through training camp. And he wasn't just he was the starter. He was the third stringer, right? He played really well in the Holiday Bowl last year. And he comes back, and the I that was baffling to me. And it was a little bit of a red flag, to be honest with you. If it is so obvious who should be the quarterback and the coaches miss that, it's got to be a little concerning if you're Washington State. Now, Rodgers on the whole, I think, has done a pretty good job. But that was a big, big miss, and it cost them because they lost at North Texas mostly because they had three interceptions. And they, you know, if you don't, if Eckhouse plays and he doesn't turn the ball over, they could potentially win that game.
Michigan goes to Michigan State. I know that Oregon State fans have maybe talked or maybe are polarized or split and divided over whether or not they'd want Jonathan Smith back. This one could be a big one for Michigan State and Jonathan Smith. What do you make of Michigan going to Michigan State?
Yeah, it certainly is a big one. He's on the list of coaches who could get fired in the middle of the season. There's no doubt about that. I don't know that they're going to make that move, but there certainly is a chance if they lose to Michigan, especially if they lose badly, that they make a change here. If I'm Oregon State, do I want him back? I'm not sure I do. I mean, that's certainly, we can have that discussion another time. But, and I wouldn't say that you have to be, if you're Oregon State, you got to be cautious because it's hard feelings. Forget about the hard feelings, right? It's more, what's his level of motivation going to be? Is he going to be as hungry as he was when he took the job the first time? There's a lot of cases of coaches who have gone back to a job they held previously, and it almost invariably does not work out.
The hard feelings part, I agree with you. It shouldn't matter. Goodwill, who cares? He took his stuff to Goodwill. You get over it if he can come back and win. Mike Riley left for the NFL. If you are confident that he's the right guy, you bring him on back. I also think it's a much different job, isn't it? Like, you know, he's basically walking into a different kind of conference, a brand new conference. Who should Oregon State be looking for? What kind of coach? What traits should the Beavers be looking for?
Well, I think they need a coach who's offensive background. To me, that's very important there, right? And if you look at both Smith and Mike Riley and Dennis Erickson, right, all three offensive backgrounds. So I think that's important. They need somebody who is going to generate donations and NIL, right? Who is going to most excite the community, the fan base, the business community to get NIL money going? That is the big difference between when Smith took the job in 2018 and started to lay the foundation for that giant turnaround they had. It's so much is going to be about who's going to excite the fans and bring the money in.
All right. I am looking a little bit into the crystal ball, and we touched on this on Canzano and Wilner, the podcast, but I want you to look into the future. Cal's Justin Wilcox, Arizona's Brent Brennan. Wilcox is 5-2. Brennan's 4-3. You think those guys are on the let's watch and see if they end up on the hot seat list? Explain why.
I do, because of the schedules, because of how they've played so far and the schedules they have coming up. And I think it could be very dicey. Now, the bar is different for each. The bar for Brennan is to get bowl eligible. They need two wins. Can they do it? Yeah. They've got a whole bunch of games that are kind of 50-50s. So they just need to win two of those 50-50s. But they may not, especially given how they've played recently. The bar for Wilcox is higher. It's 7 wins minimum, maybe 8 wins. And right now, you know, they got, 5? So he's probably going to win 3 more games, and their schedule's very tough. They play Louisville. They play Virginia. Those are both difficult games. SMU, tough game. And this week, Cal is at Virginia Tech on Friday night. Brutal. It's a long trip, right? It's a short week of preparation, and Virginia Tech is off a bye. So the home team's had 2 weeks to sit around. Cal is going all the way across the country on a short week. Tough, tough situation for the Bears.
I am looking at the weekend, and I'm going to ask you this. You can only watch one game, any college football game this weekend. You have to not watch any other games. What are you watching?
I would watch BYU at Iowa State. I think it's a huge game in the Big 12. Iowa State's got to win to stay in the race because they have two conference losses. And, I mean, if BYU wins, they're undefeated. If they go to Ames and win, boy, they are in great shape to make the Big 12 championship game. possibly to make the playoff as the Big 12 runner-up even. It is a huge game in the Big 12, and I think it should be very close. BYU almost always plays close games. Iowa State's had 2 weeks to prepare, so it's a tough deal for the Cougars, but they continue to be very resourceful, especially in the toughest situations.
John Wilner, you're the best. I appreciate you, my friend. Have a great weekend. We'll have an all-new episode next week of Canzano and Wilner, the podcast. Make sure you subscribe to that on YouTube. John Wilner, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, leave it here. Coming up, we will tell you what's on tap this weekend.